T-Mobile has home internet on America's largest 5G network.
It's how I stream the game.
It's how I knock out the shopping list.
It's how I level up.
Get T-Mobile 5G home internet for only $50 per month with autopay and any voice line. Plus, there are no exploding bills or annual contracts. T-Mobile, it's how you internet. Check availability today.
Price after $10 monthly bill credit while you maintain a nationally available postpaid voice line. Qualifying credit required. Regulatory fees included for qualified accounts. Plus $5 per month without autopay. Debit or bank account required.
This is Movers and Shakers, where we interview the upcoming generation of Make It Happen multifamily investors to share their story.
Welcome to the Movers and Shakers podcast. My name is Gino Barbaro, co-founder of Jake and Gino, multifamily investor, educator, father, mentor, and I'm joined by my co-host, Joshua Ryan Rusin, the community director of Jake and Gino. Josh, how are you doing today?
Gino, doing well, man. And I got a thought I want to share with the listeners. As we approach the holiday season, really what I see is a lot of investors get some of their biggest deals during the holiday season. And Gino, I think of Maple Sunset, a deal you guys did that rocked. And why that happened, those that are ultra successful have earned the ability to take the time off, right? Go take a month and go to Turks and Caicos or wherever they want. And then those that are really not truly committed to their goals, they use the holiday season as an excuse. And this creates an opening for newer investors to get in there. So some words of encouragement, keep pushing. You got this. Let's make it happen. Gino, what are you thinking about today?
That's a tough question. What am I thinking about today, Josh? I'm thinking about the Untuckit sale that you told me a few minutes ago. I got to go buy Untuckit. Untuckit's on sale right now. Black Friday's coming up. That's the first thing. The second thing is every time I speak to the guest that I have on today, it brings a smile to me because we've had such a journey for the last 3 or 4 years. I don't even know how long. I can honestly say that we had no coaching program at Jake and Gino a few years ago. He was burned out. He hated the space. We got together in a crappy hotel in Atlanta. We didn't even meet that day. We met after and he says, you want a coaching program? I'm your coach. So as any entrepreneur would do is let's let it rip. Let's see what happens. And we committed, we figured it out. And we've, I think, grown something pretty special. And the guest, Bill, has written 2 books. This is his second book. And he's got so much knowledge and he's got so much to teach people out there. And I'm really proud of the second book. The first one is Creative Cash. This was an amazing book. This is a tool in the tool belt, right? We need this because right now debt is starting to pull back. But the second book, we're going to talk about Real Estate Raw. Every investor needs this book because this is from the A to Z. We're talking about from finding a market to building your portfolio and everything in between. So Josh, please introduce Mr. Bill Hamm, the Bill Hamm. Right.
So for those of you who don't know Bill Hamm, he's been investing since 2005. So 16 years in the industry. The first 402 units he did without walking into a bank. So as you guys know, a master at creative financing. He also is vertically integrated. So he manages his own properties and he's been through, done, and seen it all. And today, Bill Hamm is sharing with us a lot of his knowledge that he was able to compile into a book called Real Estate Raw. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Mr. Bill Hamm.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks. Thank you.
Bill, let me ask you the first question. Everyone gets this question asked, but I really want your honest opinion. Why did you write the Real Estate Raw? What was the motivation behind it? I mean, I know you have so much in your head going on and you love to write, you love to teach, but what was the motivation or the inspiration behind writing the second?
Yeah, there's lots of different reasons. Number one, brain dump. You know, I just needed more room in my head and I had too much information rattling around. So I kind of had to, you know, clear out the cobwebs. Number two, I think I'm kind of addicted to writing books. So your wife, Julia, is the one that originally inspired me to start writing and becoming an author. And so I enjoy it and it's easy. And I think this is information that will really help all of our students get out there. And then lastly, it's a good networking piece. And that's one of the large reasons that we do things like this. I mean, let's be honest, nobody's getting rich on selling books. That's not what we do here. But it is a great credibility piece. It's great for networking. It gets your name out there. And that's, we all need to build our teams and our networks, especially in the real estate business. It's very difficult to do this business alone. You know, so that's something that we're all always doing is growing our networks, raising money, you know, building partnerships. And so those are all of the reasons why I've done it. It makes money. It's good networking. And lets me get all that nonsense out of my head so I can think of new things.
Bill, do you think when you wrote the book, for me, every time I write something or I research something, I actually became a better investor. I learned more.
Oh, absolutely.
And it also stretched me. And like you said, the brain dump, you know, things that you know, but you just never really thought about it. Like the first concept, the conveyor belt, when you look at it, and by the way, It's becoming Jake and Gino and Bill Ham trademark. If you look at the conveyor belt, it's an amazing concept. It's so simple. And yet, even like the three pillars of real estate, you never make the three pillars of real estate out. That's another concept that we've trademarked here. Market cycle, debt, exit strategy. The conveyor belt is another one. So everyone out there, we're not writing books to become rich. We're writing books to become better and to learn these concepts and to bring them to the world. So let's dive into that conveyor belt. Because sure. To me, I love it. It's how you should look at it. It's a long-termism and it's how you start a real estate business.
Yeah, absolutely. And so this is something that I created to kind of convey what a real estate business looks like. Mm-hmm. And so what I tell everybody is kind of imagine a conveyor belt, just like in a factory or any kind of normal conveyor belt. And we're going to imagine this conveyor belt to be 5 years long. What that's going to represent is our business, the first 5 years of our business. So, I'll even show you. I have a copy of the book. This is Real Estate Raw, which is coming out. And I'll show you in here just a quick example of what we're talking about. It's the images in here. So imagine a conveyor belt, it looks like this. And so this is basically what we're talking about here. So you imagine your conveyor belt being 5 years long. In year number one, we're going to put our first property on that conveyor belt. That's going to be our first closing. Okay. And so as the conveyor belt moves along to the right, the property moves along, that's our operational window. So this is you closing a deal, goes on the conveyor belt, it's moving along, we're operating, we're cash flowing. Year number two, we put our second property on the conveyor belt. It's the first one's moved along. We've closed our second property now, we're cash flowing, we're operating. Year number three, we're closing our third deal. Okay, now we're getting a little bit bigger. Maybe we started off in houses, small multifamily. Maybe that third year, we're getting into smaller multifamily, 20, 30, 40 units. Okay, year four, now we're putting bigger properties on there. Now we've started really getting into syndication. We've got our properties going, we're cash flowing. Year five, we're closing larger properties, we're in full swing. And so over the 5 years, the idea here is that you're going to fill that conveyor belt full of deals as they're all kind of moving along. You're operating, you're cash flowing as they move. And you're probably, as you start getting into larger properties, you're probably getting an acquisition fee and different fees at closing. So we're creating revenue or profits at the close. We're creating cash flow as the properties move along the conveyor belt. And then that very first property, the first one we bought in year number one, it's now year number five. That one is coming off the back of that conveyor belt. It's going to fall off. And that's what we consider a liquidity event. That's either going to be a sale or a refinance or something to that effect. So that property's coming off. The idea here is to show you how to build a real business. What you want to do is take the capital gains or the profits from the liquidity event, roll those around to the front of the conveyor belt, add that to the purchase of your next property. Mm-hmm. And so you can see the top of the conveyor belt is cash flow and the underside is equity. And so it's a circular cycle movement here of cash flow as we operate, liquidity being created at the exit, which is one of our three pillars of the real estate, right? We exit, liquidity event, take the capital gains, 1031 or reinvest, however, roll that back to the purchase. And the system shows us that over time, if we will just get the conveyor belt full, that eventually cash flow is good, but it's not the end all in the business. It keeps lights on, it keeps everything operating. But the real wealth comes from the liquidity events, the large paydays at the end. And so once you get the conveyor belt full, you're closing one a year, you're selling one a year, and you're having large liquidity events on each transaction plus cash flow in the middle. And that's where we ultimately reach that financial freedom that we're looking for. And so if you kind of will build a conveyor belt and get it going, it also shows us that over time, if you keep rolling the profits forward, you can start to limit your need for other investors and partners. So as you keep buying and you keep growing your own personal net worth by rolling that profit back to the beginning, you lessen, first off, the need for other general partners, balance sheet partners and sponsors. You become your own sponsor. Then a few more turns around the cycle. Now you're limiting the need for limited partners because you've got enough cash. You don't need to raise money from limited partners. And eventually, you really kind of stand on your own and you can start to eliminate the need for partners and investors in general. And that's when we can build our portfolio that we want to consider for legacy wealth. And that's an important concept. A lot of people want to talk about that. But it's hard to leave property legacy wealth with a lot of debt on it. That's difficult. So this is the idea that we want to kind of build. Josh, say something.
Bill, yeah, you just went through a cycle of a business from starting to, let's say, 5, 6, 7 years in. Now, every investor that starts that wants to get there, but not every investor makes it there. Bill, let me ask you, What are some reasons investors don't make it all the way through or don't create that level of success?
Mindset. That's the only answer I can give you is mindset. You know, it's like I tell people, there's only one real estate deal you have to worry about closing. And I always ask, well, what deal do you think that is? And everybody goes, oh, it's your first deal. It's your first deal. No, it's the 6 inches between your ears. It's Gina's point now. You only got one real estate transaction to worry about. And that's between your ears. If you can close that deal, you'll be fine. I've never seen someone become successful or a failure because of any particular deal, any particular market, any particular cycle. I've only seen people become successful or failures because of their own mentality and their own wherewithal. So the real answer is consistency. Those who will get out and work and realize that this is a business and realize that they're going to have to close some deals, build a business. It's going to take some years. It takes education and skill set. The people that grasp that concept and go to work are fine. Market cycle is just something, it's just a strategy. It's something we pay attention to. It doesn't mean you're in and out of the business. Not having money, that didn't stop me. That doesn't stop other people. You know, I mean, there's just all these things that we can come up with that are reasons to not be successful. Really don't matter. It's mindset. That's all that matters. If you've got a, I guess, to Gino's point, if you got a good enough why, you can accomplish anything.
Hey, know? I'm teaching Bill a little something on mindset and goal setting. So I love making Bill smile.
There you go.
It's all about that energy. I have a couple of things to really, I want to say pontificate on, but really expand on what Bill said. The first thing is that conveyor belt can start even sooner. Jake and I took 18 months before we even hit the conveyor belt and 18 months through education. Then when we hit that conveyor belt, the first deal was on. 3 months later, we had the second deal. And then a year later, the third deal. So our conveyor belt really started 18 months before we even got our first deal. But then by year, you know, three of that conveyor belt, because I'm starting with 18 months without a deal. Year three, I'm already having liquidity events for my first and second deal. We didn't sell, we refied. And like Bill said, we repositioned that capital into the next deal. And we were able to continue to do that. And we still do that to this day because we're buying them right. A lot of our assets are repositioned. Some do fall off the conveyor belt because they're either small, they become functionally obsolescent. This part of the market cycle, asset prices have elevated. And you're like, they're going to give me that price for that? I can't refi because it's going to be too much debt on it. Take it off. So always picture that conveyor belt. The second thing I forgot to mention, 99 cents on Kindle. If you buy the book for 99 cents on Kindle, email me gino@jakeandgino.com. If you leave us a review, leave a screen grab, shoot me a screen grab. I will also send you this little booklet as well. I will send you Real Estate Raw in the mail. So just buy the book on Kindle, leave us a review. Email me gino@jakeandgino.com. And I'd love to send you a copy of this book because the book is transformational. And the final thing before I answer Bill's next question, we had Julius Thomas on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. It hasn't aired yet on the Jake and Gino show, but he's a former tight end for the Denver Broncos. He won a Super Bowl with Peyton Manning. He is an elite athlete. I met him at MM4. Had an amazing conversation with him. He's into multifamily right now, and he actually retired. Why would you retire from the NFL, leaving all this money? It's mindset for him, and he's actually started buying multifamily. And what was amazing to me about his mindset was he is now a student of another game, right? He wants to become a doctor of psychology. So he actually went back to college to get a psychology degree, and he's buying multifamily. He actually closed on a 4-unit, then a 6-unit, and now this past summer, he closed on a 44-unit. My point to all this is if an elite athlete can retire and go into another venture and understands that he has to be a student of the game. And it like Bill said, it's all about mindset, being willing to sit in the front row of college and have all these young people saying, what are you doing here? You know, his identity of being an amazing athlete. Now he's a nobody, but he knows what his goals are. He knows what his why is. That's what you have to think about why you're getting into multifamily. You have to become a student of the game. You have to grind it out like Jake and Gino for 18 months. You have to grind it out like Bill Hamm walking into a deal and not being able to get financing, how to figure it out. It is mindset. And ultimately that conveyor belt after year three or four, you start doing deals and people start noticing you and it becomes a lot easier. It becomes a almost like a game, like I said, but you need to become a student of the game. And really, like Bill said, mindset. If Julius Thomas, an elite athlete, one time, you know, two-time Pro Bowler, won the Super Bowl with Peyton Manning, if he can say to himself, I need to learn and become a student, I think we all can, you know, adopt that mindset. Bill, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, absolutely. No, not specifically to what you said, but something that I thought about and add is, you know, people always kind of ask me, why would I sell real estate? Why would I sell a deal? You know, if it's making money and the cash flows, why would I ever sell? Well, I think the conveyor belt shows us the reason right there is we can hit liquidity events. And at the same time, why continue holding small, older assets we can sell those and through the conveyor belt model, upgrade the portfolio and over time, get rid of some of your learning curve properties, get rid of some of the stuff that you bought early on. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it didn't work out as well, maybe cash, whatever. As you learn, you're going to want to upgrade your portfolio. It's what we call turning the portfolio. So you always want to be kind of getting rid of lesser, less performing assets, taking the profits, reinvesting into a higher and better performing asset. So that's kind of the reason why we sell. And I know a lot of people, when they first come to real estate, they think, well, I never would. You know, I would just hold real estate forever, never sell. And that's not a great idea. You want to be upgrading the portfolio.
Well, it's about the exit strategy. I mean, I want to ask you a question. What's your favorite part of the book? But it is an exit strategy. And that's one of the mistakes that Jake and I made early on, is we sort of didn't have an exit strategy for some of our deals. Now, we're fortunate. We bought right. We can always sell. But at this part of the market cycle, please, you know, make sure that you have an exit strategy for every deal that you buy, because some of them you may want to buy and hold forever if they're in great markets and you like the median income and, you know, path to progress, rents are going up, newer asset. Hey, maybe you may buy and hold that forever. But if you're buying an older asset in a marginal area, maybe you're just going to flip it. You just understand what that exit strategy is. It's really, really important. Bill, what was your favorite part of the book that you wrote?
My favorite part is what I call a buyer's journey. And what I really do is break down a step-by-step sort of timeline of getting into the business and all the way to the end. And so it's sort of a little short chapter, but instead of really teaching all the specifics in there, I kind of just show you a timeline of getting in and about how long it should take to have certain things occur. And what I show you is how your business evolves over time. So when we first get into real estate, we find that most our business is about 80% real estate and about 20% business. And it's mostly focused on the deal and the flipping and the contractors and all that. Well, as time goes on, your portfolio, as you build your conveyor belt, your portfolio turns into 80% business and 20% real estate. And it translates. And so I go through a four-step process of showing you all the four phases of building a company, where in the beginning, you're focused on these things and here are the obstacles you're going to run into. And then I go into the second phase. Here are going to be the things you occur and your obstacles, things to watch out for. And I go through a four-phase process, starting sort of assuming you're starting in houses or something very small, all the way ending up in larger commercial property. And so it's a kind of a timeline breakdown, and it shows you what to expect and what things to occur and what things are going to change. You know, when do you get into accounting? When do you need a law team? When do you need software? You know, all these questions that people have that ask me over the last 10 years of me teaching, I've really kind of condensed into a book. And what I tell people is this book is 16 years of experience in less than 200 pages. You know, it's really just all of my teaching and experience in a page by page format that you can kind of follow.
It's interesting you say that. You talk about the IMA mentality. In the very beginning, that's what Jake and I did. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And it was 80% cutting the grass and going to collect the rents. But by 150, 200 units, you're saying to yourself, I got into this because I want to become an entrepreneur. You know, Jake and Gina, we create multifamily entrepreneurs. And for you to realize that, that is one of the biggest, I think, factors in trying to create a business through real estate. In any real estate venture, whether you're flipping homes, whether you're doing self-storage, office space, whatever that is, IMA mentality is great in the beginning. It's bootstrapping it, but then this process. So make sure you read that in that part in the book, because that would have saved Jake and I thousands of dollars in not trying to do it ourselves. What are we doing editing podcasts? Seriously, editing podcasts. I mean, bookkeeping. What are we doing bookkeeping when you have 200 units? These are things that you really need to understand. And where's your best and highest use of time? Biggest mistakes. Let's share. You've done thousands and thousands of coaching hours. Where have you seen some of the biggest mistakes that students make?
I would say probably one of the biggest mistakes is misunderstanding the expectations of real estate. You know, being misled. And that's something that I really appreciate working with this group and Jake and Gino, is that you guys are so careful about, you know, who you allow in the program and making sure that we're a fit for them as well as them for us. And it's not just a sales first type program. Therefore, our student base is really solid student base, because in other programs that I've been a part of, what I've noticed is when the sales staff or the person on stage really fills the student's head full of sales pitches and rah-rah, and they get up there and they show pictures of their fast car and their vacation homes and all this kind of nonsense, and they it gives the student a misunderstanding about what business and real estate really is. Mm-hmm. And then they come onto the program and figure out, they get deflated is what it is. You know, they get those dreams of instant riches and, you know, millionaire lifestyle and all this kind of stuff kind of then become a reality of, wait a minute, I actually have to do a fair amount of work to get there. And that's the drop off. And that's probably one of the biggest mistakes I see is people having too inflated a concept or too much of a guru sales pitch concept about what real estate is, and then getting a big head adjustment when they actually start training and figuring it out. And that can lead to burnout. So that's why I really appreciate this program and working with you guys, and why I teach and have written the books the way that I've written, to be as honest and truthful as I can, so that we have students that show up with their best foot forward, mm-hmm. not with a misunderstanding of life and business, which then causes a higher fail rate. So that's probably one of the biggest mistakes I see people make, is just a basic misunderstanding of how easy it is and how rich they're going to get, you know, mm-hmm. and how quickly that's going to occur.
And to piggyback off of that, Bill, that's one of the reasons why, you know, Jake and Gino, we love the manage right portion. We have buy right, manage right, finance right. Not many people like to teach the manage right, because manage right is actually getting at the systems. We have all the documents. We have all our processes. We're vertically integrated. We really love to teach the part of that, whether it's a cadence of accountability, whether it's your core values. This is all stuff that you need to do. Not when you first get in. When you first get in, it's all about finding deals, underwriting deals and all that. But if you're past that, you've got a portfolio, that's a really important aspect of it. That's why the slogan, I'll say it once again, is we create multifamily entrepreneurs, because it's not just buying real estate. Let's start buying the real estate. But like Bill said, you're going to have that evolution and you can become a business owner. So that's really, really important. Bill, what are some of the bigger questions that you get from students when they first join?
Oh, yeah. How do I get started? You know, what's the first thing am I supposed to do? Am I supposed mm-hmm. to go out and raise money? And then do I find deals, or am I supposed to go find a bunch of deals and then come up with money? You know, how do I choose a market? When I choose a market, how am I supposed to start getting deals, you know, coming in the door? And now that I got deals coming in the door, how do I analyze these things? What is a good deal? How do I get started? That's some of the major questions. It's, you know, you're drinking from the fire hose when you first start this, and there's so much information out there. There's so much coming at you. It can be very difficult to understand what is the first step in the process. Mm-hmm. And most of our students just kind of come on with that deer in headlights, just, hey, just I'm ready to work. I'm ready to do it. I'm not shy to put in the effort. I just don't know how to get started. Like, what's the first thing I need to do? And so that's what we do as coaches, is when we're working with our students one-on-one, we walk them through that step-by-step process. And again, that's why I created, Real Estate Raw, was to have that step-by-step process in a book, that if you're not ready for a coaching program, if you're not ready to work with one of us one-on-one, then you can, you know, take the book and at least get yourself started in that direction. And when you're ready, you know, move to the next level of education. But that getting started is probably one of the big things that I see people fuse with.
And it's a tough question, because we all have different skill sets. We all have different levels of education. I would say to everybody, the first thing is look internally, look within. If you're a high income earner and you want to do this part-time and become an LP investor, that's one journey. If you quit your W-2 job and you want to get into this full-time, that's another journey. If you just want to supplement your retirement income, that's another journey. So before you even start the conversation with Bill or with Jake and Gino, say, I want to get, well, what are your parameters? What are your hours? What's your budget? What's your, you know, net worth? And all of these questions need to be flushed out. And, you know, creative cash, if you have limited capital, limited resources, great way to start. I would read this book, everybody, just because it will give you the creativity. I mean, people don't know what they don't know. When I was reading the book, you become creative in real estate. And the more problems you can solve, the more money you're going to make. So this book will allow you to solve the problems. And I think Real Estate Raw just flushes out the entire process. I love that, from the conveyor belt to market selection, to working with brokers, to the market cycle, to making offers. It's all in there. And, you know, and Bill's, you know, I think style of writing is so easy to just understand and to enjoy, because like Gino, he's not the smartest guy in the room. It's okay, Bill. We can both agree that. But at the same time, yeah, that's how you want to write. You want to write for people to understand. Absolutely. The content, right?
And I would say, basically, I think Josh will say something. I would basically say that you know, Real Estate Raw is how to build the conveyor belt, and Creative Cash is how to fund it. So you can basically say, you know, Real Estate Raw is the systems for the company and for building the portfolio. Creative Cash is when you can't get traditional financing, you use that to fund the conveyor belt. So the two books together really kind of go hand in hand. I know I wrote Creative Cash first, but I would actually probably suggest a student read Real Estate Raw first.
I agree with you, Bill.
Get the systems down. Once you got the systems down, then read Creative Cash, and you can see how funding things in this book are, you know, you use these to fund these. So I kind of, you know, suggested in that order.
Exactly. Love that.
Now, you bring up a good point in business here. And I think this is one that I had to learn the hard way. My first business venture, I did the wrong steps in the wrong order, right? I had a website, business cards, LLC, brochure, Google Voice Line, but I didn't do any revenue generating activity. Now, Bill, one thing that you lay out in the book is exactly the right steps in the right order. Can you elaborate on the importance of that and the difference versus activity and accomplishment in business?
That's exactly what I was going to say is what, and that's one of the big things I have to work on with students early on is that people come on and they want to do a bunch of feel good tasks, you know, and that makes you feel like you're accomplishing something, but it's really likely to just be activity, not accomplishment. And we don't know that if we don't know what tasks are necessarily more important than the other. So I'll give you an example. Like one of the things, like you pointed out, when I see students come on to real estate, they first want to start off and get the website going, and then they want to get a credibility book going, and then they want to get, you know, I wouldn't say necessarily business cards anymore. Nobody has those anymore. But, you know, basically they want to get contact information and, you know, some kind of CRM thing going. And then, of course, they need an attorney. And of course, they need to go ahead and get a property management company, and they need to build it. No, you just need a deal. That's it. You just need deals. Go get deals. Learn how to analyze deals. All the rest of that stuff will be built later on. And so, yes, that's one of the big mistakes. Another big mistake I see is people coming on and not knowing exactly where to start. So they spend a lot of time and energy doing ancillary tasks that are relatively easy. Now, there's nothing wrong with setting up a website and, you know, getting your contact and building your team. There's nothing wrong with any of that, but not in lieu of actually finding a deal and analyzing deals. That's the real key. And it's like I tell everybody, I can tell you everything that you need to know about real estate in two sentences. Know the values in your market. Look at more deals than the next person. That's it. You know, if you know what a good deal is, then all you have to do is go out and look at enough deals and you'll find one. But if you know what a good deal is and you never actually go out and look at any deals, it's pointless. Mm-hmm. And vice versa. If you go out and look at a million deals, but you don't know how to analyze one properly, again, you're wasting your time. So you need to know what is a good deal, which is deal analysis. And then you need to take that deal analysis model and go out and rinse and repeat, build your conveyor belt. And that's just a function of numbers. You're just going to run the numbers game. So you know what a good deal is. Go out and look at deals. You'll wind up closing one. It's pretty straightforward, you know? And so that's kind of the conveyor belt, kind of the system. And what we go through in these books, both of these books, is to show you, yeah, step by step, what is an important task? And what is an ancillary task that we'll do later on? And I kind of take you through that whole process.
And I want just to share this with everybody out there. I like doing ancillary tasks. And in the very beginning, if you're going to do them, at least do 10% of them, at least focus 80, 90% of what Bill is talking about. And, you know, we always battle with goals. Before we go to the break, I'm going to battle with Bill on the goals again. He's absolutely true about goals. You can set these goals. If you want to get a deal in the next year, 52 weeks, and you're looking at that and you need to underwrite 100 deals, well, you need to underwrite at least 2 deals a week. So if you're not underwriting 2 deals a week and you're creating your website, well, you got a problem. But if you're doing 2 or 3 deals a week underwriting and you're creating a website, great. Let's go for it. Let's do it. But let's not, you know, fall in love with the goal, which is the result. Let's fall in love with that process. And that's what I love about the Real Estate Raw. It's not only an education book, it's an implementation book. He's not only there educating you, he's showing you how to implement these systems. And when he gets on these coaching calls, the students, he's not just educating them, because we can all go out there and get educated, but how do you implement these ideas? How do you implement the 4 stages that he's talking about? How do you implement the 3 pillars of real estate? How do you implement the conveyor belt on these calls? And in the book, he dives into that. And it's really important, because listen, I love doing it. Ancillary goals, they make me feel good. And then if you feel good, you'll end up wanting to do the other stuff. So we're not telling you to do none of that stuff, because website is important, but it's not the most important thing. So let's focus on the most important things. And let's dive into the book. Before we go into short answers, share with me something else that the listeners will really love about the book.
I don't know. There's so much in there. Talk about how to raise private capital towards the end. So good. if you're new to raising money, or you want to learn about deal structuring, I walk you through a syndicated structure, show you the difference between joint venture and what we call a syndicated model, general partner, limited partner structure. So I start the book off very simple and then kind of bring you through a more complicated process. So I don't start off in super high complicated tasks. As a matter of fact, since you're talking about goals, that's exactly what I start the book with, is showing you how to set a financial goal based on monthly cash flow. Did you know the goal guy? I had to break down and put something in there. Since you're publishing it, by the way, and it is Jake and Gino Presents.
He threw me a bone. He's got to throw me a bone. He's coming over to the dark side. He's understanding, you know, there is a place for goals. Don't focus. The goal is a result. Great. You get a deal. Great. But like Bill says, what the hell are you doing to get that goal? If you're sitting around, you know, watching TV and building a website, that's not going to get to the goal. The goal is useless. Underwrite the deals. And that's what Bill does. He'll teach you how to find brokers, how to get the deal flow. That's the
Cash flow. That's our first goal. Like, what? How much money do you need to make a month in net positive cash flow? Mm-hmm. Not to be super rich, but just to break even, you know, to get out of the rat race, as we call it. Mm-hmm. And so I use that as your primary goal setting and say, okay, what is that cash flow number? And then I show you sort of step-by-step process of how many units that is and what it takes to actually build that, so that you have a realistic understanding of what size portfolio you need and about how long it'll take to build that portfolio based on a cash flow goal. So obviously the more cash flow goal you have, the higher the cash flow level, the more portfolio you need. But I show you how equity produces cash flow. And people always get into the old argument, oh, it's, you know, cash flow is I must have, and equity is a nice to have, appreciation is a nice to have. And then somebody else come along and say, no, appreciation is nice, you know, the only thing, and cash flow is nice to have. Both of those are silly arguments. You have to have both.
Yes.
You know, we have to have cash flow to be able to operate the property, to feed our investors, to keep deals going. But if you do not have appreciation, you're going to have a constrained exit strategy.
Yes.
You know, it's like I ask people, have you ever tried to refinance a property that went down in value? That didn't work out so well, you know. So you need appreciation, right? But you need cash flow as well. And so I really go into the metrics of both of those and why we have to have both in a real estate business.
Love that. Let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsors.
Gino, I know a lot of our listeners are wanting to take their multifamily investing business to the next level. I know that you've been hard at work helping Jake and Gino students do just that using our framework. Can you explain to the listeners how they can get our help?
Guys, we've been hard at work growing our community of like-minded investors, and the results of our members has been nothing short of incredible. We're looking to grow this amazing group. What we're looking for is those who want to follow our proprietary framework that we've created. Buy right, manage right, and finance right. Leverage our connections, education, and mentorship as ways to take your business to the next level.
So if you're interested in finding out more about how you can become a part of our amazing community, apply to work with us at jakeandgino.com/apply.
All right, Bill, I got some short answer questions for you here. Bill, obviously multifamily is a hot asset class. What sets apart those that create success, or how do you stand out in a crowded field like this?
Yeah, I would say your education. You know, a lot of people want to kind of run around and try and build credibility and lean on other people for credibility and that kind of stuff. And I'll tell you that it's very difficult business to fake it until you make it, because we can spot somebody who's faking it a mile away. So what I would say is, don't fake it at all. Be honest about your lack of experience, but be highly educated. You know, when you talk to a realtor, when you talk to investors, when you talk to sellers, you need to be able to carry the conversation at a professional level. And that is not that hard to do. You just need to get your education. Don't worry about the fact that you don't have a big portfolio and that you're not the richest person in the room, this kind of stuff. That's all nonsense. Don't worry about that. But you better be able to talk the talk. And so if people don't like what you're saying, then why should they do business with you? And they probably won't. So education leads to experience over time.
We had Luke Wren at MM4 speaking, and one line that he said has stuck with me since then. I want everyone to write this down, because it's truly important. Your language becomes your experience. If you don't understand the financial language, if you don't know what a cap rate is, if you don't know what a cash on cash return is, DCR, then you're not a multifamily real estate investor. That's the bottom line. How do I know? I didn't know one back in 2005. I went and bought a deal. It wasn't a deal that was bad. It's me that was bad. I wasn't speaking the language. And to bring it further, we interviewed Sharon Lecter, had the honor and the privilege of interviewing a boss lady, 14 books. She is the rich dad and she is the deal. And she talks about it. She, you know, I was telling her how I put my son into a deal. And all of a sudden, 18 months later, my son is talking about owner draws, refining and rolling, economic occupancy. Why aren't rents the market? When are we going to buy another deal? All of a sudden, his language became his experience, because he got into it and he learned. And now he's a real estate investor and he was educated through that deal. So what Bill talks about is truly important. Your language becomes your experience, and you need to get educated upon that. That education, once again, and the implementation was what's going to make you successful in the business. So thanks for sharing that, Bill.
Absolutely.
Love it, Bill. All right, you got 16 years experience in the industry. What were some of your biggest aha moments?
Well, I think after I lost a lot of money on a deal and then said, what in the hell went wrong there? And I went, aha, the three pillars of real estate. Really, one of my big aha moments over the 16 years was realizing that there are three aspects of the business that we must understand, and getting one of those aspects wrong really increases the chance you're going to lose money. Getting the aspects right really increases the chances you're going to make money. And that's when I kind of came up with the three pillars of real estate. And it's debt, exit strategy, and market cycle. And so that's when I realized that we really have to understand all three concepts together. Where are we at in the cycle? Where do we believe we're going to be? You know, what are we doing with our property? What is our exit strategy? Is this going to be a buy and refi, a buy and hold, a fix and flip? Like, what are we doing? And when is that exit strategy going to come due? And then are we getting the right loan that will allow us to exercise that exit strategy? And I made a lot of money in times, and I've lost a lot of money in other times because I got some of those things wrong. Like, for example, spending $1 million on prepayment for a loan, you know, selling a property, making a lot of profit selling the property. But I owned it for 2 years, sold it, and I got a 10-year Fannie Mae note on that. And so the prepayment penalty was massive, $1 million. So we made money, but I lost $1 million while making money, you know? So things like that, and just mistiming markets and not understanding the three pillars of real estate, probably one of my biggest aha moments.
All right, last question for you. Where can I pick up a copy of Real Estate Raw?
Real Estate Raw is going to be on Amazon December 7th. Creative Cash and Real Estate Raw are both Kindle, Audible, and Amazon paperback. Real Estate Raw is coming out December 7th. So everybody go out and grab a copy on December 7th. Give me a boost when trying to hit bestseller. So I really appreciate everybody grabbing that. As Gino said, if you want to grab the 99-cent Kindle, we'll get you a copy of the actual paperback, I believe, Gino.
Yes.
And then Creative Cash is already out there. You can get that right now. But all of them are on Amazon, or will be on December 7th.
Just leave us a review for 99 cents and just hit me a screen grab. Email me, Gino, jakeandgino.com, and I will send one in the mail to you. And I'll also put, like I said, this multifamily booklet. And Josh, let me just end the podcast by saying that it's been an honor and a privilege for the last 4 years to get to know Bill. I mean, there's so much value both ways. I know when he started out, he hated teaching. He hated the education space. He's brought that joy back to his life. But for me, I've also learned a lot. I've become a much better investor. We've been able to create an amazing community of like-minded individuals. This has actually helped me through the last 2 years of the pandemic. I've been really selfish about it because it's been great. I mean, even at the Atlanta Bootcamp, we had 80 students there. It was just an amazing experience of having like-minded people. We're changing people's lives. I think we're making an impact on the world. And instead of going out there saying, well, the world should be better, well, we're trying to make the world a better place. So how do we do that? By writing books. You have 16 years of this man's education in a $20 book. What are you waiting for? 20 bucks. It's freaking one trip to Starbucks for Gino with all the kids. It's even less. For 20 bucks, you have 16 years of knowledge. Go out there. If you're serious about getting into multifamily, you're serious about building a business, buy Real Estate Raw. You will not regret it.
Absolutely. Boom. All right. So with that, Bill, I want to thank you for being an amazing guest on the show.
And absolutely.
Again, sharing more about your book. Guys, listen, if you like the show, please go ahead and pick up both books. Again, send us a screen grab of a review that you've done of them, and we'll mail you the hard copies. And with that, keep crushing it, and let's make it a Movers and Shakers week. See you, everybody.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Bill. Take care.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.